Amen. Eitan asked if I would read his psalm for us this morning before we dive in English. And so let me go ahead and read Psalm 33. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 33, and we'll read that together this morning. Why don't you just stand with me in honor of the Word of God if you're able? Sing for joy in Yahweh, O righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud shout. For the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it stood. Yahweh nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the thoughts of the people. The counsel of Yahweh stands forever, the thoughts of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Yahweh looks up from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the places of his habitation he gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who forms the hearts of them all, he understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A house is a false hope for salvation. I'm sorry, a horse is a false hope for salvation, nor does it provide escape to anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh, our soul is patient for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us as we wait for you. There ends the reading of God's word. Go ahead, have a seat this morning. Eitan, why don't you come?
Thank you. So, you won't believe what happened to me. I decided to come to Grove to be with you, and when I came to America, I realized that there is World Cup going on. So we had no choice, and we decided that we will go to some games to share the gospel, right? So we did. Now, when all the people clap hands to Messi, we have different thinking, but we are there. It's good to be here again. I must say that without all of you, we cannot make it. So we are going through a struggle, as you heard, many of you know. And no, Ehud was here recently. He's coming again and again and again because he has some treatment in America, in Florida. And he found many, many good friends here. Many people that encouraging him. So thank you so much. As someone who likes music, I discovered Psalm 33 fit to my soul. Because it's all about music, right? And music is a gift. People that knows me know that I always hear music, even when there is no music running. It's always in my head. And I love music. By the way, I never study music. But it's always in my head. And I sing quietly because of the request of my family. But I sing music. I'm always there. And music is a gift. And anytime that I open the Bible, I find out that God loves music, which is nice. And it comes together with the hope that he gives us. So it's so nice. And Music is a gift that helps us to praise and to glorify and to pray and to give thanks and to ask and so much more. And these psalms that we will go through some of it today, we don't have the time to go to all of it, is calling us to use music in order to call God, to call Jesus, to give us grace. And this is so nice, isn't it? And this very psalm, I just want to share with you. Last September or so, I read through these psalms and we decided to make a song, you know, for the use of the churches in Israel. And so I had to work a little bit on the text. That's my job. And I went to a guy that is a good musician. His name is Gal. Remember, because you will need to pray for him this week. And Gal is a non-believer that I worked with him many, many years. And he, when we met, he saw that God does not exist. Now he knows that God exists. He knows the Bible fairly well because we work a lot together. And he already willing to say that probably we are right and the Jewish Orthodox people are wrong. So we are in better shape. He's not a believer. He did not repent. So please pray for him. Pray for Gal. But I gave him the text and I told him, Gal, will you write music for it? He's a pro. By the way, he studied in America. And he said, yeah, no problem. I will do it. And he came after about 3 weeks with really, really nice song. Nice music. I could never write something like this. He's so good. And while talking, I told him, you know, now it's holidays in Israel. Why won't you come to our church? We have a meal after the service this week. And when you talk to Israelis and you offer a meal, they come. So he came. And he sat there. We had a teaching about the Feast of Trumpet. And while he was there, at the end of the service, he came to me and he said, Eitan, I'm so sorry. I need to write new music for this song. And I said, why? It's so nice. He said, no. I saw your church praising God. My song is not matching the standard that you need. We need to do something else. And I said, okay, you know, it's your song. You do whatever you want. And he did. I think that I like the music of the first one more, but he was right. The second is really good for worship, and the churches in Israel already using it for worship. By the way, if you ask Amir, he will send you the song in Hebrew for free, okay? You have to stop with this, free. he's so Jewish, you know. But anyway, we finished the recording and the audio was ready by the end of December, talking about the grace of God that we wish for. Then 2 weeks later, Ehud was diagnosed with this terrible cancer. And this song was in my car all the time. I was listening to it again and again because the text was so helpful for me. So this is the story of this piece that we are going to look through now. And I think that the right thing to say about this psalm, that it's suitable for any time, because the writer did not say when he wrote it and who wrote it. We don't know. I know that most commentators think that it's King David, because the psalm before and the psalm after is by King David. I'm not so sure. It doesn't say. And it doesn't give you any event. It just gives us kind of lifestyle, how we should be. And I would like to divide this psalm to 4 parts. The first, from verse 1 to 3, is a call to praise God in song. The worship team, they're going to like this sermon, I think. So all about you. The second verse, the second part from verse 4 to 9, it is a description of God's power and the power of his word. Then the third part, up to verse 19, is God's sovereignty over the nations and people. And then we'll come to the conclusion that God's loving covenant, loving kindness be upon us. So let me go. Yeah. So when we speak about it and we look at this kind of text, the first instruction that we see is be joyful, sing joyfully. And many times a command seems to us very severe, but here the sound is more of invitation. It's not severe. Sing for joy in Yahweh, you righteous ones. So let me ask, we don't have to raise hands, we don't want to embarrass anyone. Are you righteous? That's a good question, right? Are we righteous? Because you're talking about the righteous one. By the way, if you are not, slowly you can go out because it's not for you from now and on. But if you are righteous, stay here because it is exactly for us. And he says, sing for joy in Yahweh, O you righteous one. Why? Because praise is becoming to the upright. Okay, so let's talk about the meaning because it's important. Righteous in the Bible, usually, not all the times, but usually, is people that are forgiven. Righteous is not that I am righteous because of me. I'm righteous because of what Jesus did for me. You see, that's the point. So, a righteous is kind of a word that is come from the lawyer's vocabulary. See, I was guilty, and now I'm righteous. Not because of what I did, but because my penalty was paid. So now it's easier for us to say, now you can raise your hand if you want. Who is righteous? Okay, anyone that sees here that Jesus paid for your sins, you are righteous. So this is now for you. Okay, I'm glad you didn't leave. So this is the main thing that he's saying. He's saying, if you are righteous, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord with joy. And you know why? Because it is becoming to the upright, or it is natural for the upright. If you are righteous, naturally we want to sing to the Lord. Okay? That's the point. And this is the first question that we want to ask ourselves. Is this something that characterizes us? Are we singing to the Lord naturally? Do we see him naturally in what's happening around? Okay? So, can we watch World Cup and see the Lord there? No, I'm not meaning Messi. Can we see God behind the talent that these people have? Can we see God behind all the atmosphere that the organizer created for us? Can we see God in the simple fact that people, unlike any other animal, can watch other people do something and enjoy it? No, we sit there and we see other people play. I wish they would let me play too. But we can watch other people play and enjoy it. You know, I have two dogs at home. In fact, it's a dog and a half. The one is really small. And they never enjoy watching each other playing, right? Either they play or they're asleep. But we can go and watch other people having fun. We're having fun when other people are having fun. So when we read later that God looked upon us and he enjoys when we see his people singing for him, or when we are happy in our salvation, he can look and see it. I think that he can have a lot of joy seeing people going through struggles in a spiritual way. That's part of the deal. And if we see God in anything that we do and anywhere that we go, by the way, if we see God in creation anywhere that we go, we don't have to go far away. It's enough that you have a small plant in your living room and you look at this and say, wow, that's God's creation, right? But if we can see God in any way, our reaction should be like people that were exposed to the glory of God. Because we should be exposed because God is now in our heart, right? So for Isaiah, he says that the angels that were around God could not contain what they saw. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full with his glory." That's what they said to each other, not to God. They said to each other, so they could see something and they could not hold it. And they tried to talk to somebody about it. You know, if we have good relationship at home, we know what he's talking about, right? My main desire when we watch the soccer game, by the way, it's football, it's not soccer, but for you. When we watch the soccer game, I have so many moments that I want just to pick up the phone and call my wife, to call Orit and tell her, you cannot understand what we are seeing here. But note, time difference is hard. She's asleep already and you don't want to wake her up, believe me. But you know, when something is filling our heart, we want to tell other people. So how many times during the day we want to tell other people about what God is doing? Or how God is great, or how smart he is, or how many times it comes to our heart? It should be natural for us if we are righteous. That's exactly what this verse says. By the way, as you can see, Isaiah was not the only one. There were others that saw God and were so amazed, or saw a little bit of his holiness and were so amazed. By the way, the verb that is translated to seeing has a little bit more meaning. Now, I know that it's hard sometimes to say. No, in Hebrew, you have about 10% the number of the words that you have in English. So word may mean more than one meaning. But leranen, what is here sing, means to sing joyfully, and to sing when it comes out. No, like a spring that comes out. Like a geyser that comes out. So there it says, when you sing to the Lord, that's how you should sing. And it talks about upright. And again, I want to tell you that upright in Hebrew means also straight. And this is the right word. It says, if you are straight, if you are righteous and you are straight, you sing for the Lord. Now, straight is important because God speaks about straight life of people. For example, when a king is good, he says that what was he did right in the sight of Yahweh. Well, right is yashar, it's straight. He did straight. And when and when Paul speaks to rebukes Elimas, he asks him, "Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" The same word. The straight word of the Lord. So now, if you want to know if something is from the Lord or not, if it goes like a snake, it's not from the Lord. The Lord speaks straight. If our commentaries start to find outweighs around, something is not good. The ways of God are straight. And then they respond to this is to sing. How to do it? Worship team, are you here? Yeah? Okay. Next week, start to use this. Okay, there are two instruments that are mentioned here that are from the same neighborhood. The biblical lyre is a stringed instrument similar to a small harp. Used to have three or four strings. Yeah, of course, strings. And it appears to be the first music instrument that appears in the Bible, already in Genesis chapter 4. But it's a very acoustic, very touching. The other one is the 10-string harp, which is the same family, but it's bigger, it gives a bigger sound. I would imagine that King David, when he was playing before King Saul, used at least one of those. But the commandment is to sing well, and to sing a new song. So this is a good question. What does it mean to sing a new song? Should we come every Sunday with a new song? By the way, it's a good idea. I like the idea. I'm not sure that it can happen. But anyway, this is not the meaning. New song is not the new song, but the new way of singing, right? You know, when we became believers, one thing bothered me. You won't believe it. It's the prayer before meal. I didn't like that all our friends used to pray before the meal because it sounds empty to me. You know, they close their eyes. Thank you, God, for the food. Thank you for the hands that made it. Thank you, Amen. Let's eat. And if you are hungry, get shorter. If you are not, it's longer, right? That's how you do it. And I didn't like it because it was kind of a routine, you know, just continue. So I want to tell you that we need to pray before our meals a new prayer every time. It's not really important if it's the same words or not, but a new prayer. It's fresh, that we really turn to the Lord. And when we come here and we sing, or when we sing in the car, or in our mind, or in the shower, when we sing to the Lord, it should be a new song, something that's coming from fresh place in our heart. I think that's the main meaning of new song. Maybe new expression. And a new song brings you to the point that the melody serves the text and not the other way around, right? That's what differs our music than the world music. No, I like good music. By the way, I like a lot of non-Christian music. I don't know if you will invite me again. But, you know, it's a different story. No, music is fine. It's all from God. Okay, it's all from God. But Christian music, the text must be above the music. And the melody should serve the text. So that's how you do it. And the last thing that I want to say about this, that it says, play skillfully with a shout of joy. You know, since I know a lot about this church. In fact, it's my church. As soon as I go out of Israel, this is my church, just that you know. So I know a lot about how things are going on in the church here. And I know that the worship team work hard to make what we see here. No, it's not just a group of people that come and sing. No, there is a lot of thinking and a lot of practicing, and I know it here, and I know it in our church in Israel. And I want to tell you all, those that are part of it, thank you so much, because you really fulfill God's command when you play skillfully with shout of joy. And we as crowd, well, me as people that listen there, not always appreciate it enough. There is a lot of work into it, a lot of work. So thank you so much for this. In fact, I was so impressed this morning that they took a video to show our worship team in Israel. So those that came near to me and say hi and I didn't answer, that's why. It's not because I'm so bad, but all this is possible. All this to sing with joy and to do it right is possible only with the loving kindness of God. And that's why we ask Jesus, may your loving kindness be upon us. Without this, we cannot. The second part talks about God's power and the power of His word. I think that if you were here last week, you heard a lot about the creation and the creator. And so I would encourage you to look, if you were not here, to look at the website and listen to it. By the way, it saved you about 30 minutes now. You should be thankful for this. But after the earth gives us expectations from us, no, that's how we should be as righteous people, he explained why. And he says two things. He says, for the word of Yahweh is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness. That's why. That's why we should praise him. Because today with the media, with AI, with the politics, you cannot trust anything that people say. Right? You can see them saying it and it may still be wrong. But you can trust what God said. We can trust what God said. It's all written here. We can trust it. Every word is true. There's the connection between righteousness and being right. There's the connection between faith and salvation. And the word of God has many, many important attributes. And I really like the idea that the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119, talks about the word of God. Right? The whole chapter talks about the word of God, the longest in the Bible. And I want just to mention a few things. No, not many. We could spend 2 weeks now on this. But in Psalms 119 start when it says, when it says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of Yahweh. You see the point? If the word of God is our way of life, we have it all. And throughout this Psalm 33, we see, throughout the Psalms 119, we see that the word of God is truth, that is given life, that it reproves, that it guides, that it's powerful, even powerful enough to create. And that's why in Psalms 33, we read that the word of God is upright and all his works are done in faithfulness. What does it mean? It means that the word of God is truth and his acts is reality. No, it's not a story. By the way, I really don't like, I'm a publisher. I really don't like that all the Bibles for children called storybooks. Bible stories. It's not story. It's reality. So no, kids going to school and they have 2 hours they study Bible stories. And then they study science. What do you think they will believe, the story of this or the science? You see the point? Why do we call it stories? It's not stories. It's reality. It's facts. And this is the meaning that all the works that God is doing is done in faithfulness. By the way, faithfulness in Hebrew, it's emunah. And you know, when we finish our prayer, we say amen, right? What does it mean, amen? Amen means true. True, that's it. So faith and truth comes together very well in the language. So we pray, say amen. Yeah, this is true, we agree. Amen. I think you call it amen. That's okay, close enough. We'll not fight over it. But the word of God is so strong that it can create. God says, let there be light, and there was light. The power of his word. In Isaiah 55, it says that anything that God says will surely happen. Surely happen. Isn't that amazing? In Hebrews, it says the word of God can be a sharper, like a sharper with two edges that can pierce and that can heal and can divide. First Thessalonians says that the word of God is also at work in you who believe. So it's not just something, it's not just a book that we can read or we can ask ChatGPT to give us a verse. You see, it's much deeper than that. That's the point. And since we already talk about the Word of God, the Word of God is Jesus himself. Right? John chapter 1. Isn't that amazing? That in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is with God. And the Word is God. And we could see, we can experience the Word because he put up flesh and lived with us. Truth, Word, that's who Jesus is. That's who we are, I hope. I hope that that's where we go. And in the following verses, the authors talk about just different aspects of this. We will not go into it, but he talks about the fact that God is the creator, as you talked about last week. And then in the middle of it, he says two things. In verse 5, he said that he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his loving kindness of Yahweh. Then verse 8, he says, let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I want to make sure that you see the word all here. It's not just for the believers. You know, it's proper for us to fear the Lord. It's not proper for us to be afraid of the Lord if we are righteous. Okay? Small difference, right? I want just to give you an example. You know, we live in Israel. We see many, many aircraft in the air when there is something happening, even when there is none. So we, in our home, from time to time, I mean, a few times a day, you would see F-15, F-16, F-35. By the way, you paid for it. Thank you so much. And we see them flying over our home, you know, just taking off very close to our home. And we stand in awe with much fear, but I'm not afraid. Because they have this sign, you know, the Star of David on it. It's ours. We are not afraid to see them. We are happy to see them. Recently, we see your aircraft as well, by the way. They are moving around there. But when this airplane goes above Lebanon, they are afraid. They don't have fear. Well, they have. I don't have enough English to explain. They are really afraid. They want to go under the ground. When we hear an airplane, we call coming out to see it. You see? So when we talk about the Lord, that everybody stand with awe before the Lord, that's the story. For us, when Jesus will come back, by the way, he's coming back. That's what you know. But when Jesus will come back, I want to be outside. I want to see this light coming in. I want to see it. I don't think that I will be afraid. I will be so happy. But my neighbor, he will go to the shelter. It will not help him, by the way, but he will go down as low as he can. Because I know the loving kindness of the Lord. Okay, the third part. The sovereignty of God is not only on nature and creation, but also over nations and people. And this is important to know, because in the center of this part, in verses 11 to 15, it says that God sees and knows everything. He looks and sees everyone. And again, notice then the word all in those three verses. It appears in each verse. All. So nobody can escape. And this is good news, or maybe bad news. It depends who you are. If you are righteous, good news. If you are not, bad news. So if there is anyone here that did not repent, does not know the Lord, I would not wait for tomorrow. Now, I'm coming from the Middle East. You never know if you will be here tomorrow. That's the story of all of us. You don't know. And if you don't know the Lord, get to know him today. I'm sure that there are enough people that will help you here to do it. I will not wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. And if you think, but I'm strong enough, I'm young enough, I'm rich enough, just listen to what it says in verse 16. It says, the king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it provide escape by its great power. You know, I'm old enough to know. I have 10 grandchildren. Any time in my life that I trusted myself, it didn't work. Now, I was not a failure before I became a believer. I was a good guy, you know, I worked with computers, and I was okay. I had a nice family. But it didn't give me any hope. So, you know, I don't have a good salvation story of a guy that was drunk and in drugs and hopeless. You know, in the eyes of the world, I was a good guy. I was faithful to my wife. She was faithful to me. We had a nice family. Everything was okay. Everything was okay. Until I met this Van Kampen tribe. And they turned my life upside down, because they showed me that all this cannot give me hope. It could not give us hope. It cannot give us hope, because it's limited by our limitations. And I love music, and I cannot sing, because I'm such a limited person. I wish I could sing. I would kick Brendan out of this stage. I would stand here. I wish I could sing, but I cannot. No, it doesn't match the song, you know. We're so limited. And we think that we have the best army in the world. Now it's we, right? It's one army, almost one army. Yeah, we have a good army. We see them. But if our hope is in our F-35, or Merkava tank, or no. This is not the point. Now, do we need all this? Yes, we do. We do. But this is not the hope. This is not the hope. No, Israel has probably the best medical services in the world. No, very advanced. But my son has a problem that the doctors cannot fix. They look and say, well, no. They say, no, no. So my hope is to go to the best doctor that I can find, right? And I did. That's what we did. We went to the best doctor. Now it's not, the question is not if he can or not, but if he chooses or not. And since his choice is always perfect, I can sleep at night. So I can tell you, with all this happening to us now, not fun. But we sleep at night. We do sleep at night because we know it's in the hands of somebody much greater. And if he chooses, like Scott prayed, if he chooses to heal Ehud, great. It will bring a lot of glory to him. But he may choose to do it in another way. And he's not only the best doctor, physicians, is also the best one to comfort you when you need it. Which one I will meet, I don't know. But I want to meet him. In any way, I just want to meet him because this is the right thing to do. Because our confidence is not this medicine that we work so hard to come and take it and bring it. That's why you will see us so much now in the coming months. You pay the price for us bringing the medicine. But yeah, we want the medicine because it helps. It's not the hope. The hope is that God is doing what he's doing. By the way, he did. Ehud is definitely a born-again person. So his sickness is done. And this physical sickness, who knows? We just go through it. The Bible has a lot to say to Israel about trusting other people instead of trusting God. So we called Egypt a crushed reed. In the time of Hosea, the prophet, the people of Israel saw that Assyria will help them. It didn't work well. And Jeremiah concluded that cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. We don't want to trust in mankind. And you know, mankind is important, but it's not the story. And the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. Blessed in the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. So I want to tell you, this is true nationally for our people, because we are in this chosen nation, but it's true for each one of us as well. Alike. And he says that the eye of God is looking, who fears him and who waits for his loving kindness. Do we wait for his loving kindness? That's what we want to do. And two things especially are joyful for us. First, there is a blessing to those whom God has chosen. We should never question it, because life can bring us to the point that we question it. You know, I think 11 years ago, something like this, our house was burned down. Big deal, huh? No, almost everything burned down. And so we stood outside, the house was in flames, and we had to encourage all our neighbors that everything is okay. But after this happened, by the way, it's not recommended to do it. You know, don't barbecue in the living room like I did. No, but anyway, after this happened, I realized that a family in the church, the next weekend didn't come to church, and the next weekend didn't come to church, and the next weekend didn't come to church. So I called the guy. I said, what's going on? And he said, I'm not sure that I believe in God anymore. So, okay, what happened? He said, you helped me to move. I had a big car. I helped him to move from one apartment to another a few times. And then your house is burned? From all people, your house is burned? God is not fair. I don't want to believe in him. And I tell you, no. Don't take God's goodness in this kind of way. Maybe God is teaching us something. Maybe he's teaching you something now. Maybe I paid the price, but he's teaching you. I don't know. We should be careful. God give us blessings. The blessings are definitely sure. In Romans 11, it says that God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. 2 Timothy says that even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. God is faithful. That's a good place to be. The second joyful thing that I can see here is that God says that he is watching over us. His eyes are open. He's not sleeping. He's always there. That is why we can call Jesus and says, may your loving kindness be upon us. May your loving kindness be upon us. Okay. By the way, there is a problem. You used to have a time that goes down to tell me where I am. Now, I started with zero and it's still zero. So, and since you have only one service today, right? So I can double the time. Thank you so much. Our next game is Wednesday, right? No problem. Okay. We will conclude now. The righteousness and the upright is the determine the way that we wait on God. Or it's better to say that we wish for God. So God gives us loving kindness as we wish for his love. Or wish to see him. Do we wish to see him? Is that who we are? He has promises for us on two aspects. He has a day-to-day promises. So it's good to know that, you know, tomorrow I will drive toward Atlanta. And it's good to know that God will be with me. I'm not doing it alone. Sometimes we feel alone, but we are not alone. We're never alone. It's good to know. Second, he gave us some good eternal promises that are much above those daily ones. So I know that whatever happens, I will be okay. So I can tell you that if tomorrow on my way to Atlanta, I will not make it, no, it's not too bad. No, or it will find somebody much better than me. No, it will take 2 weeks. But I can tell you that the worship leader in our church has a playlist for my memorial service. I already gave him. By the way, party. It all will be happy songs. All happy songs. Because the promises that God gave us are much greater than what we have here. I don't want it to see. I want to see the semi-final first. But later, who cares? In 1 Corinthians 10, it says that God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but will provide a way of escape. Now, tempted seems to us like something that is sinful naturally, but it's not. You know, if my son is sick, I am tempted to trust the doctors. I'm tempted to trust myself that I will be able to fix it because I think that I can always fix anything. My wife doesn't think so, but I think so. Anything, I'm willing to try. You see, something breaks at home, I take tools. I don't know how to walk, so I take the first tool that I find, and I try to fix it. I'm sure that I will be able to. Usually I cannot, but I'm sure I will be able to. You see, that's the point. God will not put us in a place that we cannot cope with. It's good to know, isn't it? It's good to know. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes, when we run into a hard time, we can look at it as a compliment. God says, okay, I give you something that it's not above your abilities to cope. Well, okay, God, now I have a standard to stand up for, right? And I saw people within our family here in America and in other places taking the load and standing with the trouble, trusting God, and God direct them to the way out. I saw it in my own eyes. I feel it in my own heart. I know. Paul says that he knows how to live in prosperity and in poverty, in all circumstances. By the way, I'm not always sure what is harder, but sometimes we have good days, sometimes we have bad days, and in all days we have one good God. Nothing changed. Nothing really changed. So our days may be this way or that way. Paul learned to stand in difficulty. God did not promise us that we will not have difficulties. He just promised us that when we have difficulty, we will not be alone. He will be with us. And he will take us to the right way. And there is always a way of escape. By the way, I know the way of escape. You go back to the Lord. That's the escape. No, don't look for something else. You go to the Lord. This is the escape. And someone may take our lives, but no one can take my faith. Nobody can take my eternal life. This is truth. That's what when we say amen, right? This is truth, completely truth. Do we seek his face in time of trouble or in time of comfort? Jesus himself said, he said, you seek and you will find. Don't worry, you seek and you will find. Knock. It will be open for you. Anyone who seeks, receive and find. And God will never give us something bad if we want something good. It will not happen. We should know. So this is the comfort that we have, right? When our life goes down, or, you know, when the election comes and it doesn't work well. No, we are having an election at the end of October. Okay, we don't know what will happen. We don't know what we want to happen. But I tell you something. God will not forsake his people. So Iran can do whatever they want. The government in America, who knows what will come next? Europe. No, they're not with us anymore. Not with you, by the way. What do we have left? If not wish for Jesus and tell him, please, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Messiah, may your loving kindness be upon us because we wish for you. Let's pray. How much, Lord, we need your grace, your loving kindness. Because with ourselves, we cannot. We cannot make it without you. How can a sinful person like me have any success in any field in his life? But small person like me, leaning on your power, can do almost anything. So we praise you. We want to sing for you. We want to shout in joy. We want to tell your great deeds to anyone, anyone that is willing to listen. Because you are great God. You are great God. And we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that anything can be done with you. So please be glorified by us. And let us walk with you as we go out from this room today. We pray you in Jesus' name.